Hello.
News, dude.
Yeah, I called you a few minutes ago, but something happened there. I
Oh.
didn't get it. I put a song on, but I had to take it off and put the pod back on where we, well, anyways, we're live on the air now.
We're live now, are we?
Yeah. I didn't
Oh,
get a chance to put another tune on.
good. No problem. But look, maybe just I suppose I owe everybody a word of explanation as to where your guest disappeared to. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Yes, I can.
No, I had them, and let's just say I had an exchange with your guest, and I had some previous exchanges with him in the past, just so you know. This isn't out of the blue, okay? And I don't know why. And there are people who have this opinion, apparently, and they tried to say, man is not sovereign, only God is sovereign. And he was one of those ilk. And I mean, our whole ethos is that all are sovereign, all men and women, children on the planet are sovereign. We say it as a fact,
Well,
and it's because of that fact that's why none can be above nor below another. I understand why people say, God as sovereign, the sovereign of the universe and all of that, but I would put forth the argument that if man cannot be or is not recognized as a sovereign being in his own right on Earth, then what supposedly was the gift of life that God supposedly gave to man? What was that gift? I mean, it has to be sovereignty. I mean, if we don't have free will and free choice and freedoms or the ability to even think about freedom, how could one be considered sovereign? And we do, we can, and we are. Ergo. It's essentially I think therefore I am, the I am, it's I think therefore I am sovereign, because that's who's doing the thinking.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if they claim that we are all equal, all men and women are created equal, how can some claim to have authority over us, or how can some claim to have power over us
Well,
if we are
exactly.
not all
I mean,
equal?
and that's a fundamental thing that we've been looking at here for a long time on PIR and Messiah and all of that, and TNS. And it's essentially via your cooperation. There's no other way for it to happen because, I mean, if these people who claim that, I mean, I've seen them, these people who claim that only God is sovereign, for example, there's a lot of religious, I'm going to use the term religious fundamentalists out there who make this or who have this position. Yet they always seem to end up in. I mean, it begs the question: how do they work out, who to make in charge of their own organization? You see, yet they come from organizations, these people, and yet you think, well, hang on, how did your organization start? And this guy was very quick to quote the Bible at me. You see, and he was very quick to judge. And I said, well, here you are judging. You're judging me. You're issuing judgment. You can see the text. I put all the text in the host room, so everybody would see what this lunatic was doing. And I'm basically calling him out, and it's bad thinking is what it is. It's that class of thinking is designed to keep people down, Stephen. It's designed to, oh, don't how, in other words, how dare you question the status quo? How dare you even attempt to be free? You're supposed to be a slave. It's been ordained by God that these people are your rulers, etc., type of thing. That's what these people put out there. I mean, that's what loyalists essentially claim. People who are loyal to any crown, English, German, French, Dutch crown, whatever hell crowns are out there anymore. I mean, that's what they essentially are saying, that only the one who wears the crown is next to God, and I am subject to them. And I don't think any reasonable individual who can actually think logically can come up with that conclusion. I remember even, what was his name? He's a nice man, I think. Stephen Fry and Richard Dawkins both proclaimed to be atheists, and they were talking away, and yet both of them are essentially still serving as subjects to the crown, and they don't seem to understand that that too is a religion. That's a belief system. That's a religious belief system. It's exactly the same. They have the audacity to claim they're atheists. They're not. Stephen Hawking, or not Stephen Hawking, Stephen Fry. Was it Stephen Fry, yeah? Is that his name?
I think so, yeah.
He was the one who recently in Ireland they were going to claim he had somehow blasphemed under legislation here, and therefore, ergo, in his interview with Gabriel Byrne, that because he had blasphemed in his interview that they could chase him under the legislation. Somebody was looking to get attention drawn to it. Truth of the matter is that blasphemy legislation is not actually about religious blasphemy at all. If you read it and try and understand it, you would see it's nothing to do with religious blasphemy. Sorry, Stephen, am I waffling?
No, I I was just trying to message someone there while I'm listening to you. It's not my former character or anything, but
the point I'm trying to make here is that if somebody wants to choose to believe something like that, they're free to do so, of course. Now, this guy was talking about coming on for an interview, and I said, okay, well, if you're coming on for an interview, you're coming on for an interview. But he said he was refusing to sign up to the website because he was staunch in his apparent belief that he can't hold, because I said, like, only a sovereign mind can decide whether they believe something or not. You know, otherwise you're just a slave, you're an automaton, you're a servant, you're just a robot.
Well, you know, I was going to say earlier, I think that's a lot of the problems why the entire world is in the shape that it's in, is because people have given away so much power. And
well, you see, when we say, this is the thing, you see, when people say, oh, we've given away the power, I'm not trying to contradict you here, but I know what you're saying, but it's a bad use. It bugs me because I think that's a bad use of language, because we don't actually give away anything. What we do is we tell people that we now apparently believe something that's quite frankly ridiculous. It's like, you know, when I hear people, even people that we know quite well, and they'd say things like, oh, well, I have to be careful in case I lose my house. And I keep saying, no, you can't lose the house. The house doesn't go anywhere. The house is not, you know, they don't pick up your house and leave you where you are and move the house. In fact, what they do is they actually knock on the door and they ask you to leave. And most people just walk out the door.
Yep. So true.
And then they say, oh, it says on the documents, your house is at risk. It doesn't say at risk of anything. You know, what's it at risk of? Like, we need to finish sentences. We need to finish sentences when they're written in legislation. We need to finish off what these sentences should have. So, for example, as I often say to people, the sentences are unfinished. So, you know, your home is at risk of, Stephen, did you know that? Your home is at risk of? And you're like,
of course.
They, what?
Of what? Yeah.
What do you mean, Vin? If I just sent you a message saying, hey, duck. Right, you're okay. Well, you're ducking now. What?
You know, I had an argument with somebody that fled Australia because he had police officers threaten to arrest him. Well, you know, a police can threaten to arrest anyone. It's just a matter of whether they do or don't.
Yeah. Anybody can arrest anybody. It's just if you arrest somebody incorrectly, well, that's a false arrest.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not that big. I mean, getting arrested is not that big a deal, folks.
No. No.
Well, it's not. I mean, you know, I used to see a lot of the guys originally in the so-called free man movement ranting like lunatics because they've been arrested. I'm thinking, what the hell are you getting all upset about? Relax. You know, do your thing right and present yourself correctly and handle your affairs correctly and it won't be a problem for you. Said they'd flip the lid and act like lunatics. You know, I wondered about a lot of them. They seemed to want to be arrested and they wanted to get limelight on themselves, you know. I mean, this guy, I mean, what was his name? Your chap, I can't think of his name, but anyway, your guest. You know, he was trying to essentially say to me that somehow, mankind is not sovereign, Stephen. I mean, that's the most bizarre thing on the planet to say. You know, it's like the American Declaration of Independence. I mean, essentially it was, we take these truths essentially to be self-evident, you know, these self-evident truths. Man has the right to pursue happiness.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you don't have the right to pursue happiness, you don't have any rights. You know, that's all of your rights are essentially contained in that. I mean, even if, as they say, even if the Irish who like to be miserable aren't happy till they're miserable, as they say, right? So, but it's the pursuit of happiness. It's the pursuit. It's when you're sued in a court case, it's pursuant to. There's a pursuing going on. You know, our life is about pursuing our dreams. Maybe sometimes the worst thing that can happen is your dreams are fulfilled. Because then, that's it now. What do you do now, right?
Yep,
exactly. If you fulfill your dreams too early in life, what are you going to do? Okay, so your dream has come true and, that sometimes you'll even hear people who become extraordinarily wealthy quite young, they get bored and they think, what the hell is this all about? So they'll go and do something else. They go, they take on dangerous sports and they go, potholing and scuba diving and all of these things, and quite often they hurt themselves. And it's just they're looking for another rush because they can't get because essentially their dreams have been fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. I just,
we don't have to worry about that, of course.
No, I keep thinking, I don't even know if, the meme is true or not, but I caught a meme, supposedly by Joseph Mengele, and the quote goes, "The more we do to people, the less they actually believe we're doing it to them." And
that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if the meme is true, but the actual phrase is true.
Well, let's look at the biggest trick ever played on mankind. And, all people would offer all sorts of things into that. If I said on Facebook, for example, what's the biggest trick ever played on mankind? My version of that is, and I've thought this through, is banking. 1 + 1 = 2 + 2 point something. 3, essentially. That's the biggest trick mankind has ever had played on it. I know very intelligent people who keep saying to me, no, you're wrong, Vin. It can't be like that. No. The economists, somehow they know how to fix that. And somehow the system works. And it all works out okay in the end. And I keep looking at people going, it doesn't. What's the debt of the entire planet, Stephen? How many trillions and trillions and trillions in debt, supposedly, is all the nations of the world together?
Well, I believe the alleged number for America is like 19 trillion, but
Well, all the countries on Earth up, and it's hundreds and thousands of trillions. Probably,
it's supposed
right?
to be. It's supposed to be like 1.5 quadrillion or something like that.
Okay, and then therefore it begs the question: to whom is the debt owed?
Yeah, for something that grows naturally, like a tree.
Yeah, is it owed to Uranus?
Yeah,
Neptune, Saturn, Mars,
the Moon. Yeah,
who do we owe it to? Because if it's that much more than all the money in circulation on the planet, then it's an absolute impossibility for us to pay it off. And yet somehow we're still managing to add more to it. And they talk about, increasing the ceiling and then the glass ceiling and all these different ceilings. The ceilings are all fake.
And more quantitative easing.
The politicians argue about putting a fake figure on top of a fake figure on top of a fake figure. And for some reason, people seem to think that's a serious conversation.
Well, Van, they do wear flashy suits and drive fancy cars, and all their buddies pat them on the back for being more clever than the rest of us.
That is true. And it's essentially, they say, this is it. No more after this. This is the last time, everybody. Until the next guy gets out.
Yep. Trump is going to save us all.
He gets elected, saying, now the national debt, I'm going to have to decrease the national debt. Of course, they never do that. They always increase. In fact, did you know, I think it's true every year. Every year, more money is borrowed into circulation than was ever borrowed in total before, including every year added up together before that, since the system started. Did you know that?
Not surprising.
In other words, if year one, let's say £1 million was borrowed into circulation, year two, 10 million, year three, 50 million, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
What's the total of those 3 years?
I'm not that good with numbers.
A 10, a 50, and a 3, say, right? So that's 63 million, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now, in the next year, they have no option but to borrow more than the 63 million and what's needed to run the economy. And if it was the 50 million last year, it'd probably be another 100 million this year. So now they have to borrow 163 million year four.
Uh-huh.
Year five, it might have to be 500 million. Year six, it could be 1,000, in fact, 10,000 million. This is what happens. It's an exponential curve. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it never gets paid off. All they do to supposedly refloat the loans, to get the bank lending money again, they say, oh, now things are up. See, essentially what the bank's saying is, right, you've already reached parity with the level of everything that's what, you know, we consider valuable in your nation. So unless you give us your bogs, your oil, your gas, your minerals, we're just not going to lend you any more of these magic pieces of paper.
Right, right.
And they're not even doing it with pieces of paper anymore. It's just we're not actually going to agree that you have more of the non-existent stuff we don't actually really provide anyway. Because that's what's happening. The cashless society everybody's getting all worked up about. I actually think it's a good thing in one way, because maybe people will finally see that money doesn't actually fucking exist. And it never has in that regard. You know, you can't dig money out of the ground. And how many people have heard it doesn't grow on trees, right? Well, of course.
Do you have over there, over here in America, we have something called, Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Well, they hold it at some sort of a hall or whatever, or some sort of a facility, and there's all kinds of,
yeah, and people go and steal grandma's china and bring it in.
Yeah, how much is this worth and all this and all that, you know?
And he's trying to figure out now, do I keep granny alive and get them in China or what? Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I've always thought and I've always said that something always has value what someone else is willing to pay for it. And that's a car or a house or a boat, whatever the case is. Gold, it's just as valuable as what someone else is willing to pay for it.
And you see, did you ever wonder why? For example, let's say I have the quill, the actual quill that Shakespeare wrote his sonnets with, right? I don't, but let's say I did. I mean, the quill out of the arse of a goose, many people pluck them if people were going to eat the goose, they pluck them and throw them away or reuse them or stuff a pillow. But if it's the quill that was used to write Shakespeare's sonnets, that one will be worth millions if you can prove it.
Uh-huh.
But why? Why is it worth millions?
Yeah.
You see, the reason it's worth millions is because the people who control the system, and the reason these nondescript people are becoming famous is what they've decided to do, instead of trying to hold on to the idea that people should only be made famous with, you know, genuine, continuous, regular talent, as it were, they've decided, well, we'll just let the lowest common denominator tell us who should be famous. And that's where all these Kardashians, etc., came from, because they got most attention on social media, etc., and on TV, and therefore people are talking about them. So, yeah, we'll just let them be famous. Let them be the new famous people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I think somebody is just after knocking on my door here. Hold on, looking for me. Hang on.
I heard a ding-dong there or something there a few minutes ago.
Yeah, hold on.
Well, I guess while he was away, I can say that...
Stephen, yep, that's my guest here. Do you mind if I knock off?
No, that's okay. I got the rest of this podcast I can play or whatever. And then Kira's coming up next.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Stephen. And I'm not going to apologize to your guest. I'll apologize to you. Your guest needs to pull his head out of his ass. Thanks, Stephen.
Have a good night. Okay, everyone. I'm going to finish off this Manly P. Hall video here. And there are several videos.